have been preaching about some bold things, and I want to continue on in this series just for a couple more weeks in the bold series, probably take us up to Revival Sunday with Cliff West, and then the Lord is dealing with me with another topic that we'll go into after the revival with Brother Cliff. But this week's topic, bold hope. I thank God that we have hope in this world. I thank God we have hope that goes beyond this world. Would you turn in your Bibles with me? John chapter 4, verse 29, just one scripture of text this morning. John chapter 4 and verse 29. The thought today is bold hope. The thought today is that we have hope in our status in life, we have hope in our struggles in life, and we have hope in our sorrows in life. John 4, 29. The woman at the well said, "Come see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Would you bow your heads with me one more time, and can we ask God's blessing and anointing this morning? Lord, I know that it is nothing at all that I can do this morning, but Lord, you can do everything. And we sense your presence in this house, and we know, Lord, that you have brought us together one more time for a purpose, for a reason. And Lord, may we experience your very presence this morning. Lord, if you will just fill this house one more time. Lord, if you will touch us, touch our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds to receive your word this morning. And Lord, would you anoint me one more time to be able to preach with clarity, with conviction. Lord, that you would help me to preach beyond my own abilities. And Lord, that we can say once again, it has been good to be in your word and to be in your house. And let us all grab a hold of that hope and never let it go that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you praise, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, amen and amen. Jesus had a divine appointment at a well in Samaria where he had this unlikely conversation with this unlikely woman. We correlated that conversation with prayer because prayer is talking and listening to Jesus. And early in this passage of John chapter 4, we found four principles of prayer, and you will remember these: God-centered, not self-centered; Scripture-driven, not driven by our emotions; a faith-filled prayer, not full of doubt, but faith; and a grace-full prayer, not filled with condemnation. I am glad that Jesus did not bring condemnation, but he brought hope. And then in verse 14, Jesus told her, "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." You see, this water springing up into everlasting life doesn't just manifest itself in eternal life, but it manifests itself into our lifestyle. And as the conversation segues, then Jesus begins to explain how we can live out in our lives true worship. We discussed this last week in our sermon called Bold Worship. We discussed that we should express our worship to God, but more importantly, our lives need to live out our worship to God. And in order to do that, we need to deal with some things. You'll remember this from last week, or better yet, we need to allow God to help us deal with some things. One, we need to deal with the defects. You see, we have been recalled to God. We have been recalled to our Creator. We need to deal with the distractions and keep our eyes on Christ. We need to deal with detours that could come our way, because how many knows there is a proven and biblical path to life and worship, and we should not veer off of that path. And then lastly, after we have come to know this Christ, we have to figure out a way to deal with hope. How do we deal with hope? Here we see a woman whose hopes for a better life intersects with a Christ who finds her at a wellside. And in verse 25, the woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things." But in verse 26, Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." I am glad that I found this Messiah, and I am glad that I realized one day that he was speaking to me and who he is. Who is he? He is Messiah. He is the Christ who can change my very life. So how do we deal then when we find this hope? Last week, you remember, we looked at each other and said, deal with it. Well, this is a good thing to deal with. Once we found hope, we should respond with praise. Our praise should be intertwined, intermingled with thanksgiving to God for all the goodness and blessings that God has given to us. How do we respond to this hope? Our response should be with worship that is worshipful and a surrender of our heart and a surrender of our very lives. And then today brings us to this topic of bold worship. Our text was John 4:29. "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did." And then she asked a very profound question. Could this be the Christ? Could this be? Could this be? Could this be is an expression of speculation. It's an expression of optimism. It's an expression that speaks to hope. You may have asked this question before. You may have said, could this be my dream job? Could this be my big break? And I know it's not Valentine's Day, it's St. Patty's Day, but you may have even asked this question, could this be the one that I will spend my life with? Could this be was the question that the woman was asking here at the well. Could this be the Christ? Now here's the backstory. Jesus has been talking to her for the last 2 weeks in our regard. He only talked to her for a day, but for us, we've been talking about this for a couple weeks. He was talking to her at a well, and the disciples had gone into the city to buy bread. But here they're coming back this week, and they find Jesus talking to a woman. This was a woman who desperately needed hope. How many know there are people out there today who desperately need hope? How many knows that we run into them every day, whether we realize it or not? We run into people who desperately need the hope of the gospel. We run into people like this woman who are in dire need of the Savior. We cannot live this life alone. But the disciples were shocked. They were shocked that he was talking to a shameful woman. They were shocked that he was talking to a Samaritan woman. And simply put, they were just shocked that he was talking to a woman in general. But in the next few verses, we will see that Jesus talks to her and he gives her hope for her status in life. He gives her hope for the struggle of it all. And he gives her hope that can bring her away from the sorrows that have been about her life because of sin. I'm glad I found that hope one day. If you're sitting here this morning and you have yet to find that hope through the Lord Jesus Christ, I urge you this morning, there is hope for you and you can find that hope right in your life situation, right in your status. Look at verse 27. "And at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, 'Why do you seek?' or 'Why are you talking with her?'" He was talking to a woman. In that culture, women were treated as second-class citizens, not seen, not heard, not respected, but Jesus was talking to her. She was a Samaritan. In that culture, the Jews despised, even hated the Samaritans because of their racial prejudice. They avoided them. They looked down upon them, and they even prayed that the Lord would not remember the Samaritans in the resurrection. But Jesus was talking to her. Her social status was unfair. Her social status was unfavorable. Her social status was undesirable. And maybe, just maybe, you and I can relate to that this morning. Maybe there have times in our lives when we have felt the unfairness of this world. How many knows that everything's not always fair? Maybe there have been times in our lives where we have lived through unfavorable circumstances, maybe a victim of circumstances or even a victim of someone else. But I want you to know Jesus extends hope to us right where we are. And her circumstances were undesirable. You may be sitting here this morning and you might say, Pastor, I am in a dead-end job, or I am in a family situation, or I'm in a health problem or situation, and my situation is so undesirable. But I want to tell you, there is hope right where you find yourself this morning. Jesus brought hope to her. And he will do the same for you. He will do the same for me. Could there be a dark day sometime when this pastor raises his head up from the pillow to find some circumstances that are less than desirable? It could happen to me. But on those days, I know that there is still hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to extend bold hope to us wherever we are, wherever life finds us. The world doesn't understand this. The world looks at us sometimes and they see that we carry on. They see that we have joy even in the midst of trouble and tribulation. They see us carry on with hope, knowing that a brighter day is coming. They don't understand necessarily why, but they need to know it's because of the hope that has come to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of you have walked through probably in unimaginable things at times in your life, but I want you to know, and you would want us to know, that we found hope even in the midst of despair. Jesus Christ. That there's also hope in the struggle of it all. The day-to-day living of it all. I see here in this passage where she was gone at the sixth hour of the day to draw water from the well. And that spoke to me, and I just began to think of the day-to-day lives that we live. The day-to-day living sometimes can be tough in itself, can it? The grind, the getting up, the moving, the rat race, the pressures, the problems, the running here and the running there. And sometimes we feel like we're even in a crock pot with the lid shut and the temperature turned up, just baking. And that pressure upon us. Day-to-day living can be tough. But then add in something that is a little more extreme. Add in an unforeseen financial problem. Add in an unforeseen physical ailment. And life can be tough on the day-to-day basis. The pressures, the stresses, the challenges. There's not enough time in the day. Life can be tough. But there is hope. Every single day. Every single day there is hope. And you might have to look at me sometime and say, Pastor, I'm taking it day by day. Well, I want you to know his grace is sufficient for you every single day. And if you have to take it day by day, then hold on to God and take it day by day. Because he is faithful and he will give us hope. Kind of reminded me of a little song. It was sung here a few weeks ago before my arrival. I saw it on Facebook. It made me think twice. No, I'm just kidding. But it was very prolific. It said, worn out. Come home at night and sleep, sit down for a bite, and you're worn out. You're hardly able to get up from the table because you're worn out. Crawl into bed, sleep like you're dead because you're worn out. In the morning you wake up, you can't seem to get up because you're worn out. And sometimes we're just worn out. Sometimes we're just worn out from the struggles of it all. Paul knew something about those struggles. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10, I see Paul, who had a bold hope even in the middle of his struggles. Let me read you this passage in verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger from Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Now this is the Apostle Paul. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Now here's what Jesus said back to him in verse 9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Right there is a bold hope. You may feel that you're in the middle of a weakness, but I want you to have some hope right there in the middle of the weakness, because when I am weak, then I am strong. Jesus uses my weakness to build strength in my life, that I will have greater tenacity in the days to come. There is a bold hope right in the middle of tribulation and trial. So Paul said, therefore, I most gladly will rather boast in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He's saying sometimes the way gets tough, sometimes it's long, sometimes it's hard, but I'm glad that in the midst of that, the power of Christ is still resting up on me. And if his power is resting up on me, if it takes hard times for that to happen, let it be. Let it happen, because I want the power of Christ to rest up on me. So then he said in verse 10, therefore I take pleasure. Watch this. This is odd. I called it Paul's odd hope. This is odd. He said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Pleasure in infirmities? Really? Look at somebody and say, I'm so glad I'm sick. Said no one ever. I take pleasure in infirmities. I take pleasure in reproaches. I take pleasure in needs and persecutions, in distresses. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul was speaking about a hope that's beyond what we see and feel right now. It's a hope that will carry us through. The struggle of it all. Here's those odd things. There's hope in infirmities. Is there hope for me in my physical or mental or emotional weakness? Yes, there is. Is there hope for me at times of disapproval or reproach when somebody is looking down at me? Yes, there's hope in the struggle of it all. Paul knew that. Is there hope right when I have a need? Yes, because the Bible tells me that my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus, my Lord. Is there hope in the middle of persecutions and hostility and ill treatment? Yes, there is hope. Is there hope in our distresses, in our anxiety? Don't we live in a world full of anxiety? Can I tell you that emotional issues and emotional pain is very real? And no one should ever look down at someone else who suffers with emotional distress and anxiety and say, well, that's just nonsense. It is a real deal that people deal with. It's a real problem that people deal with. But I want you to know that Jesus still gives peace that passes all understanding. And we can have hope right in the middle of our distresses. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's a great hope. That's a bold hope. That's a hope regardless of my status in life. That's a hope regardless of the struggle of it all. And then one final point, there is a hope beyond the sorrows that are caused by sin. Can I just tell you this morning, I don't understand why everything that happens, happens. I don't understand why bad things happen to good people. I don't understand why certain families have to deal with things that they have to deal with, or why certain people die at certain times, or why this or why that happens. But all I do know is that we live in a fallen world. And God never intended it to be this way. God never intended it to be this way. But we live now in a world that is fallen and sin-filled, and we pay the consequences, and it rains upon the just and upon the unjust. And we live in tough times because of the fall and because of sin. But I have good news for you this morning, that God has a plan to put it all back together one day. He has already laid the foundation for that plan when he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you and for me to restore us unto himself. But one day, as John said, I'm going to see the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven like a bride adorned for her husband. I want to tell you that one day he's going to create it all new again. And our hope is beyond this life. Our hope is in that new city that John saw coming down. I have a hope right here and now, but I have a hope that stretches into eternity. And God's going to put it all back together. So hang in there, baby. Hang in there. Hang in there. We have a hope. We have a bold hope. This woman at the well found that bold hope. She found that hope right in the middle of her sin and shame. And it grabbed a hold of her. In fact, it grabbed a hold of her so much that she forgot why she even went to the water pot to begin with. You might be like me. I have walked downstairs more times than I would like to admit, opened up the refrigerator, and then thought, what in the world did I come down here for? Recalculating. Now, I know that's never happened to you. But this hope of the Christ grabbed her so much, gripped her life so much that she left her water pot and she ran back into the city. Suddenly, everything else seemed to be unimportant. Verse 28 and 29, then the woman left her water pot. She went her way into the city and she said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Somehow her tone has shifted. You may remember early on when Jesus started talking to her about everything that she did. She got defensive. She changed the subject. She didn't want to talk about it. But here all of a sudden now she runs into the city and she begins to say, hey, I have found a man. I have found he might be the Christ. He has told me everything that I ever did. Her attitude, her tone has all changed. Oh, it happens to you and I too. He starts dealing with our hearts. He starts talking to us. He starts wanting to change our lives. And at first, we're a little resistant. At first, we don't want to talk about it. At first, it makes us a little uncomfortable. The word there is conviction. But how many knows if we'll stay around him long enough and he will help us deal with our life issues, that conviction will turn to praise. That conviction will turn to worship. That conviction will result in a changed lifestyle on the inside that works its way out on the outside. And then we have a testimony that we want to go back and tell what Jesus has done for us. Right in the middle of our offenses against God, there can be bold hope. Right in the middle of our doing wrong, we can find him standing there with bold hope. Right in the middle of us breaking God's law and breaking his heart and turning aside, there can be bold hope. Right in the middle of our going astray, there is a good shepherd that comes after that one who has left the 99 and wants to pick that lamb up and bring him back to the fold. I'm preaching about bold hope this morning. You see, she had sinned and brought shame upon herself. But the great exchange was that Christ had not sinned and came to give grace upon her. She had sinned and brought great shame upon herself. She gave that to him who had not sinned, and he gave her grace in return. And no wonder we can come in here this morning and preach this glorious gospel and know that there is hope for our very salvation of our very souls. There is hope that will move us away from the sin and move us away from the shame. No wonder she was excited to say, come see a man who told me all these things that ever I did. Could this be the Christ? What I did does not have to be what I do now. Amen. Who I was doesn't have to be who I will be from this moment forward. Hope has arrived. Bold hope has come. Messiah has arrived, and the Messiah has come. We can experience a bold hope. I don't have to be stressed about my status in life. I don't have to be stressed by the struggle of it all. I don't have to be stressed by the sorrows of sin. Hope has come. It's hope wherever I am. It's hope beyond whatever I've done. It's a hope that extends beyond this very life that we live in today. If our musicians will come this morning, I've asked them to sing a song about hope before we leave in this place this morning. And as I close this message today, I found a passage in the Psalms. And it was as if the psalmist was having a conversation with himself. And it was as if the psalmist was looking back and forth at himself and saying, God can help me, but maybe he can't help me. God can give me hope, but maybe I'm too far gone. And finally, he came to a resolution that he was not for too far gone, and God can give him the hope that he needs. It says this, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And you may be debating too. You might be sitting there this morning or living your life through the past weeks and months and just thinking, can I really change? Can my life really be changed? Can I really serve God? Can I really find this hope that this pastor has been preaching about? I know he's been preaching for the last several weeks about a woman at a well. And I know that when I read in John chapter 4, her life was changed. But can that really happen for me? What about me? I have good news this morning. The answer is yes. 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 Christ can give you hope. Christ can give you hope. You might be sitting here this morning and you've served the Lord a long time and the way has been a little hard lately and the way has been a little rough lately, and maybe you just need to be reminded from this little preacher up here this morning that there is still hope for you. God has not left you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you, but he will go with you even till the very end. There is hope for you. Weary pilgrim, lift up your head and pick up your feet and keep walking. There's hope. No doubt there are some that are sitting here this morning and you might would say, how long? How long? I thought this would be over with by now. I want to remind you that the Good Shepherd knows his sheep. I want to remind you he's still with you. Oh, glory. I want to remind you that you may not feel him walking beside you right now because he may just be carrying you. He was with you. He loves you. You say, but I pray and I cry out to him and sometimes it just feels like I'm hitting the ceiling. It may feel that way. I assure you, his ears are open. He's hearing your prayer. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. And I pray from the bottom of my heart that maybe just some little nugget or some little something from this service today that you can grab a hold of and that'll help you tomorrow or in the weeks to come. There is hope for you. Don't give up. Don't sit down. Don't lay down. Don't quit. God has not forgotten you. He sees it all. He's going to put it all back in order. Hope has come. Hope has come. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the sweetness of God's presence right here. I feel his goodness. I feel his love this morning. The Good Shepherd loves his sheep. He hears our voice. He walks with us. He walks with us even through the valley of the shadow of death, the psalmist said. He prepares a table before the presence of our enemies. He anoints our head with oil. Our cup runneth over. Surely goodness, surely mercy is going to follow us all the days of our life.